Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 187, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback. And I was on Amazon for 3 hours this morning, finding something that apparently doesn't exist, or trying to find something that doesn't exist. But with me today is my co-host, as always, Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up? I feel like you have to explain more of that story now. You kind of just threw out just a little teaser.
Well, I'm going on a trip in a couple weeks, and I have a LowPro backpack, a great camera backpack. You have the larger version of the one that I have.
Yeah, the ProTactic.
Yeah, and it comes with these straps that help you secure a tripod and everything like that. And for this trip, I want to secure a tripod plus the three-axis gimbal that I have. And I know I can do it. I just need the straps. And apparently, one, these... The LowPro ProTactic straps are sold out everywhere. Can't get them on Amazon. Can't get them directly through LowPro. Can't get them on B&H. Can't get them on Adorama. Can't get them anywhere. They're just sold out. I don't know if they don't make them or whatever. So they're like a normal strap, but they have the quick release and you can tighten them easily, which makes them great for, you know, like getting my tripod out and putting it back on. Like it makes it fast. And that's the biggest thing when you're shooting all day is like, you don't want to take 10 minutes to take your tripod out. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, I can find like, you know, like an Amazon brand or just some no name brand, or even like another camera brand or another bag brand that makes these straps, because you would think that they would make them, but they apparently cannot be made. They're not made. I don't know. So I spent 3 hours this morning trying to find these straps that apparently don't exist, besides the LowPro ones that are sold out everywhere. So, yeah.
That really sucks.
That was my morning.
Yeah,
because I'm going on this trip in 2 weeks. So it's not like, you know, all the other ones say they're on back order and stuff like that. But obviously I want them. Like I need to get them for this trip. So, yeah, I'm just, yeah.
Well, I hope you come across some soon. I'd offer to lend you mine, but I don't know. That just seems like a lot of hassle.
Yeah, I'm going to figure it out. I'm hacking the backpack to fit two tripods, so it's made for one. So we'll see if that works. But anyways, let's talk about tech. Let's talk about what's going on in the tech world and some of the cool products we got to take a look at this week. And we'll start with the gaming mouse. And I took a look at the Corsair Glaive RGB Pro. This is a follow-up to their original Glaive RGB. Basically, they added their new sensor, which is the Pixart PMW3391. That's developed by Corsair with Pixart, so you're not going to find this sensor on any other mice. It's 18,000 DPI. Optical sensor. Again, the mouse is much lighter. It's 115 grams, which is pretty light for a gaming mouse. And the cool thing about the Glaive is that it has removable thumb rests or thumb grips. So you have three different ones. So depending on the game you're playing or depending on your, you know, your grip style, you have three different grips that you can swap in and out. And it's a great mouse. I really like it. I think that we'll talk about another mouse that I did a video on, but if I was going strictly wired, this is a mouse that I would definitely use. Super comfortable, one, and two, I just, like we talked about with the mouse pad, the Cooler Master one last week, I like being able to change things up without physically changing my mouse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not switching to a different mouse. I can change the thumb grip and get a different feel, which sometimes I feel that makes me better at the game or makes me not suck as much.
Kind of like a shifting in your chair.
A new position. Yeah, like adjusting your chair. Yeah. So I like that about this mouse. And it's not overly expensive either, I believe. Let me look at the pricing here. It's $70, which I don't think is that bad for what you're getting in this mouse. You have Omron switches as well. Of course, the mouse is backed up by Corsair's IQ software, so you can completely reprogram the mouse. You can mess with the RGB lighting. You can do all that kind of stuff with an IQ, and it works really well too. Just a really well-made mouse. I mean, I really like it. Like I said, if I was going the wired route, this is more than likely the mouse that I would be using. It's really, really good. And one thing I do like about the thumb buttons on it is they're set so you can rest your thumb on them, but they don't press down where it looks like they would press down. They actually press into the mouse. So, you know, sometimes you're resting your thumb on them and you accidentally press them. This, if you rest your thumb on them, you're not going to accidentally press that button. Your thumb's just going to rest there. You actually have to physically press it into the mouse, which I like.
Cool.
But yeah, it's just, like I said, just a great mouse. I love, again, one of the best features is the removable thumb grip. The optical sensor is great, and you can adjust it in 1 DPI increments. So, you know, a lot of mice give you like 100 DPI increments, but like if you're, you know, you want to play at 846 DPI, you can do that, which is nice too. I believe there's 5 different DPI levels, you know, that you can go ahead and set, and you can easily swap through those, you know, while you're in your game. You don't have to get out the you know, adjust your DPI or anything like that too. So just a good mouse. And I agree with the price. I don't think it's bad at all. And we don't often give products a 10 out of 10, but it's just a good mouse. I like it. And one thing that Corsair also has done is they redesigned their USB cables. They're more protected on the ends, which is good because that's where typically a USB cable fails. And the actual end that you insert into your computer, they made it longer, so it's easier to plug in. You know how sometimes, you know, you're behind your computer and you're fumbling with that, like, you know, that little short USB connection? They made it longer and they made it easier to plug in your computer. It's just like little things like that that just make things easier. So it's good that they did that as well. So
yeah, when you're reaching behind the case, that's the worst. You're not quite back there. There's not a lot of room. You really can't see it. And then tiny little plug-in, and can't do anything with it. Yeah.
So good on them. So yeah. So like I said, some nice improvements with this. And it's just like I said, if I was going completely wired, this is the mouse that I would use. And actually, we'll skip right to my video review because we're talking about mice, so might as well just skip right to it. I shot a video on Corsair's Ironclaw RGB wireless gaming mouse. And the reason I made this video is because this is my new like daily driver. It's the mouse that I love. It's a mouse that I use. And like I said, I love the Glaive RGB Pro, but the Ironclaw RGB Wireless is just such a unique mouse. It has, I'm sure you remember it from CES. It's the one that has that big hump at the back. It's made for a palm style grip, which I use. It's super comfortable. It's wireless, and it is a gaming mouse. So it uses the Slipstream 1MS or sub 1MS wireless technology. So I haven't had an issue with latency or anything like that, or missing a click or anything like that. And I'm playing Apex Legends mostly, so a lot of fast action there, and I'm not skipping a beat or anything like that. For me, the two biggest things I take away from this mouse, the reason why it is my new like daily driver, one, it's wireless, so I don't have to deal with wires or anything like that. And the wireless connectivity is good. It's not like Bluetooth. It's, you know, their Slipstream technology, which is really, really good. And two, it's just so comfortable. It's one of the most comfortable mouses that I've ever used, and it just feels amazing. And another thing that I did point out in the video is like the thumb buttons are bigger than than you see on other mice. And I really like that just for the fact that like, sometimes, you know, you're trying to hit a thumb button and you accidentally hit both, or you hit the one you don't want to. These are big in like defined, but they're not too big where like I have to completely move my thumb across the mouse to click it either. So I think that, again, you know, if I'm going wired, I'm going to go with the Corsair Glaive RGB Pro. If I'm going wireless, I'm going with the Ironclaw RGB Wireless. They do have a wired version if you don't want to go wireless as well. So you can, you know, check that out. But yeah, that was our video for this week. So definitely check both of those out. Two really great mice. And I like that Corsair is kind of like, for a while there, they had like a couple mice, and now I think they have like 5 or 6 for all different, you know, styles and everything like that. So I really like this mouse. And like I said, I'm going to be using it going forward. So just a good feel.
Sweet.
I really, really like it. But moving back to our written reviews, I took a look at one of the most secure desktop hard drives you're going to find. It's the iStorage Disk Assure DT2. It's available in 1 terabyte all the way up to 14 terabyte version. I took a look at the 8 terabyte version. So this is an external USB external hard drive, full size. And in order to access it, you have to put in a PIN number. And this is not software encryption or anything like that. It's full AES XTS 256-bit hardware protection. So there's actually a chip on there that's doing all of the encryption. And it is the world's first and only NCSC CPA FIPS 140 level 2-3 NLN CSA BPSA and NATO restricted level certified encrypted desktop hard drive. I know that's a lot to a lot to take in there, but it's just super secure. The encryption on it is super secure. So if you have data that needs to be secure, this is a drive that you definitely want to consider. And on top of that, it has a lot of protections. Like if somebody actually has physical access to the drive, so say somebody steals this drive from you, one, they're going to have a hard time opening the casing because there's no screws on it or anything like that. But if they happen to break the casing open, the actual hard drive and all the components are covered in an epoxy resin that, like, if you remove it, it's going to break the drive.
Right.
So you won't be able to access the data anyways. And it has some really cool features, like the actual keypad has like some type of coding on it that doesn't show wear. So, you know, you're entering the same code all the time. It wouldn't take a genius to figure out what your code is because of, you know, wear on buttons and things like that. So that has that certain coding on it. It also has like an auto lock. So after a certain amount of time, which you can set, the drive will auto lock itself back up. So say, you know, you're at your computer and then you walk away, you know, there is a chance that somebody could go in and access your data. So, you know, you can set an auto lock from a minute all the way to 99 minutes. So, you know, you can do that. And it has a self-destruct button too, which we talked about it when we reviewed their portable drive, is that if you're in, say you have this data on your drive and you're in trouble and they ask you, you know, even say you're at TSA and they ask you to unlock the drive, you can put a self-destruct pin in there, which will kill the encryption key and kill all the data on the drive at the same time, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody wants your data, be like, oh yeah, I'm putting in the pin. Oh, I don't know what's happening. And then it just completely kills the drive.
Oh, it was just working.
Yeah. And then finally, the same thing will happen if the PIN is entered incorrectly a handful of times, which is a good security measure as well, because you should know your PIN, and if you're messing it up, you know, more than a handful of times, then the drive will do that, you know, destruction, and it will destroy the encryption key as well as all the data. So really cool drive. Very expensive for what it is. It is an 8 terabyte drive, but I mean, it's over $600. For the unit, which isn't cheap, but this is like buying medical grade monitors or something like that. Like, you need those protections in place, so you're going to pay the money for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's probably, it's a business expense more than like a personal purchase, because, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's really cool. I think it has a lot of cool features. And again, if you're looking to, you really need data protected, iStorage is the way to go. They have this drive. They have a portable drive. They have a portable SSD. They just announced a new flash drive as well that has the same type of protections too. So a lot of cool stuff there that they're doing. So yeah, so definitely check that review out. And we'll go to CaseMod Friday. And this week, we don't really have, I wouldn't necessarily call it a case mod. The whole idea behind this mod was to mod a keyboard. And it turned into sort of a foldable PC type thing that's kind of like in the I don't know what period of time you want to call it.
Dark ages.
Yeah, I guess in the dark ages. I think it's real. Yeah, it's what you would think a medieval laptop would look like, I think.
Is it a laptop?
It's not a laptop.
I mean, it's a full-size keyboard with a screen, right?
Yeah, it's a full-size keyboard with a screen connected to a Raspberry Pi. But I think the craftsmanship on it is amazing. This is done by Ali Abbas, the creator. He actually has a full case mod. He has a couple pictures of them both together that are both in this kind of like wooden Dark Ages theme. I think it's really, really great. It's something different. And we talked about this with the laptop mod we featured a few weeks ago. It's the same type of thing that I just like, you take something that is a keyboard and you make it look like something completely different. And it's true to form of like, you know, Vikings and, you know, knights or whatever.
I think this one's Vikings. So.
Yeah. So really, really cool. It's really neat. I think it's a cool piece. I think that, again, he took the idea of modding a keyboard, which he uses a Corsair. I think it's a K55, I think, or a K70, and he makes it look nothing like a K70 at all.
It's really like much, much more than the keyboard too, because it's, you know, it's a hinged display top, and it's got speakers built into it. It kind of is a little mini, very, very low-powered laptop.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like what you would think a laptop would look like in the Dark Ages, you know?
Yeah, with a full-size keyboard.
Yeah, with a full-size keyboard. Very cool. And he even did some work on the mouse that he uses for it, too, which is cool. Quite a bit. So really cool stuff. Great, like I said, just great attention to detail on this one. Again, not like a typical case mod that, you know, you're used to seeing, but I think it deserves to be, you know, given some praise because, like I said, it's just really, really great work. As we talked about with a lot of these like scratch builds, it looked like it could be something off of a set, you know, in a movie or something like that. So definitely check that out. And if this type of mod isn't your cup of tea, of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. Going back at least 3 or 4 years, so we have a lot of stuff in there, so you can get some ideas if you want to do your own mod or just, you know, look through a bunch of mods. So that brings us to news, and it seems like every week's AMD week for whatever reason lately. So we're talking about AMD again. And graphics cards
nearly exclusively, which
So it looks like AMD is working on a larger 7-nanometer Navi 12 chip, which it kind of, the Navi 12 code name is basically, it's made its rounds last week on social media, and it's coming from, you know, people who are known to leak news and are known to be pretty credible. And we might have a RX 5800 series. The 5700 series did a decent job, but the 5800 series, by most people's thoughts, would take on the 1080, or the 2080, I'm sorry, which would be kind of interesting for AMD, because they weren't really, at least from what they said, they weren't really going to go after. I wouldn't say, like, it's not a 2080 Ti that they're going after, but they're going after a 2080. And they could disrupt that price that's been adjusted and then adjusted again. Because of Radeon cards. And I think, if anything, it could just make NVIDIA lose more money.
It could drive down the NVIDIA high-end pricing if it was priced correctly and in the same realm. Probably not anything that's going to cause NVIDIA to launch anything new, though. They pretty much played their card with the Super, so.
And what was interesting, that, you know, basically, because of the 5700 series, NVIDIA had to use their TU104 silicon for the 2070 Super. And for the 2060 Super, they had to spend 33% more on memory. Which, if there was no 5700 series, I don't think you'd see a Super, right?
No, they just wouldn't. They just wouldn't take the hit on the pricing.
Yeah, so they're already taking a hit on pricing on some of that stuff. So if this comes out and say it performs up to a non-Super 2080, I mean, at a lower price, I mean, it's a it's a viable option for people. As we talked about with the 5700 series, if you're going to get one, wait till the custom one comes out.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that horrible cooling solution, obviously. Wait till
news of Salad Drivers appears.
Yeah, that too. I think that, AMD like kind of dipped their hand in a little bit with the 5700 series. And if we do get a 5800 series, it's just, again, at the end of the day, even if you're buying an NVIDIA card, like this will help drive that price down. And we already saw that with the 5700 series. So I think it's a win-win.
Agree.
I don't expect anything from it.
Do you like?
I don't expect anything great. I think that if anything, it will perform to a 2080, a non-super 2080. But if they could provide that performance at a lower cost, people are going to buy them. And it's just a way for them to kind of just slowly, just make some headroom. Not like a lot, not like... Most people wouldn't choose it over a 2080 or 2080 Super, but people will buy them, and if they're getting them for a lower cost. Yeah. I mean, you can't really say it's a worse card if you're getting it for $100, $150 cheaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Which will more than likely will cause NVIDIA to lower prices again, but we'll see. We'll see as it comes because this is first rumor.
This is first rumor. So
definitely sometime next year.
Yeah. But talking about custom RX 5700 cards, ASRock already announced their custom Challenger cards, which kind of look very basic. And we talked about it, I believe, last week.
Yeah, very basic.
Yeah. But when asked when they'll be available, I guess on their website or forums or whatever, they said they'll be out by the second week of August. So for the most part, I would think that you're gonna see custom cards from Sapphire, and I guess Asus will have some. I don't know who else makes custom AMD cards. But you should see custom cards for the 5700 series out the second week of August. So as we said, don't buy the reference card. Like, it's just not good. It's not efficient. Buy one of these custom cards, and I think you'll see them from Sapphire, and MSI and everybody else. You should see them the second week of August, and that will give you a good idea of like what will be out there and everything like that. But it's good that it's coming because I think it's needed, just because the cooling solution on the reference cards is just bad. It's not really great. So,
yep.
Yeah. And then also AMD processor news. It looks like AMD will be launching another Ryzen 3000 series processor, a Ryzen 5 3500. It appeared in an import registry, we had the 2500X previously and the 1500X, and those were 4-core, 8-thread processors. This is going to be a 6-core processor. 65-watt TDP, so it's more than likely going to be a lower clocked Ryzen 5 3600, priced to compete with the i5 9400 or the i5 9500. So again, just another processor coming out from AMD. If you didn't want to spend all that much, because again, the 3600X is only $200. I don't know what the regular 3600 is. Maybe 170?
I'm not sure.
I forget. So this will be even lower, and you're under $200 for a 6-core processor.
This is the standard process, like the trickle out of the mid to lower end parts for them, but the trickle release, but like they're really pretty good parts compared to like what we've recently had as high end. So
yeah, and it's like I said, it's nice that you're getting 2 more cores, because again, previously they were 4-core parts, now they're going to be 6-core parts. That's a plus. So no word on when they'll be out, but they should be being announced or come out very soon, so definitely stay tuned for that. And both third and fourth generation Ryzen Threadripper parts have been spotted in the wild. The first one comes from User Benchmark, and that's a 16-core, 32-thread engineering sample, codenamed Castle Peak. This is not the 16-core Ryzen processor. This is a Threadripper processor. And yeah, so we should at least see that. We all knew that third generation Threadripper was coming. It was supposed to be here right around now, but they kind of delayed it a little bit because Ryzen launch was huge and
very successful.
And it's kind of gets into Threadripper because you know currently the flagship is what, 12 core, and you're gonna get a 16 core in September, so. You know, so go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just, yeah, totally. This is a different thing altogether, but, it does use those parts. So it might be an availability thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the Ada 64 database has been updated with, new code names for AMD processors. The Genesis and Vermeer. Vermeer refers to Zen 3 in general, so it'll be Ryzen 4000 series. But Genesis, we believe that refers to 4th generation Ryzen Threadripper. So these parts are in the works, apparently, already. I think that Threadripper, 3rd generation Threadripper is going to be interesting. The big rumor is that you're going to get a 64-thread part. On high-end desktop, which is crazy to think about. But again, we're now getting a 16-core part on mainstream.
Right.
We still don't know if third-generation Threadripper will have a new chipset or anything like that, or you'll still be using the same. We don't know. But it I assume we'll see it by the end of the year. It kind of just makes sense. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then talking about AMD again, like I said, it's almost exclusively AMD news. One of the biggest things is with Ryzen 3000 series is just how popular it is. I mean, Intel's not going to have anything for a while, so a lot of people are building new systems. I mean, so many people have asked me, should they build a new system with Ryzen 3000 series? And I always tell them, yeah. I mean, it's a great platform now. You know, the cores are there, the performance is there, everything like that. So the Ryzen 9 3900X is sold out everywhere. The 3700X is sold out everywhere. So it's causing inflated prices on Amazon and eBay. On Amazon, through a private seller, the 3900X, which should be $499, is $699 there. And then if you go on eBay and you look, like they're selling for, you know, there's one for $665, $740. Someone's trying to sell one for buy it now for $1,000. You know, and if you look at the one, like you can go into the sold listings, like somebody bought one for $650, someone bought one for $679, someone bought one for $699. It's crazy that people want this that bad that they're going to pay $200 to $300 more than what it's
worth. Significant.
That shows you people want them.
Yeah. It's another thing that where the tables have turned, because this used to happen to Intel every launch, but not really anymore.
Yeah. It's just, even if I was looking to buy, like I would wait till I could find one. Like
I'm not paying $200
some micro centers. Yeah. Some micro center locations do have them. You just have to find them, and it's like in-store pickup only, so you have to go get it.
Yeah, you got to be there like when it's there.
Yeah, so, and they only allow one per household on that. But yeah, it's crazy to think about. And again, we talked about this, you know, for the past few months. It's like, do you remember like 3-4 years ago, like when AMD just was like, you know.
One word. Yeah, well, I guess one phrase, bulldozer.
yeah, exactly. So very, very interesting how things have changed and how people want to build AMD systems. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
We talked about it last week on the podcast, but it wasn't confirmed. But it has been confirmed now that Corsair did acquire Origin PC. So if you didn't hear about this story, Origin PC is a custom PC maker out of Florida. They've been around for 30 years. They make some pretty high-end systems. And it looks like Corsair is going to get into like the custom PC building game. It makes sense. We talked about it last week. I mean, it just does. NZXT has their own thing. Corsair wants to be the be-all, end-all for everything. They want, you know,
one-stop shop.
The only thing they don't have is a monitor, right?
Yeah. I mean, aside from hard goods, but...
Yeah. Like, they don't make... they don't make the components, but with Origin, they're going to be able to build you a PC, right? Yeah. You know, and the only thing we don't have is a Corsair monitor. We have all our gaming accessories, headsets, microphones, streaming gear, you know.
Memory.
So
storage.
Memory. Everything. Yeah. Like I said, it just makes sense. They're trying to expand their portfolio. And like I said, be a one-stop shop where you can buy everything for your PC. Build the whole PC, get all your accessories, get everything you need to get up and get running.
It's been a rather quick brand expansion for them too, like just a matter of years that they've really moved into all these different markets.
Yeah, I think I really liked the Elgato purchase. Yeah. Because streaming and content creation is such a big deal with content creators, you know what I mean? So they wanted to kind of capitalize on that. Yeah. And I liked it that they didn't like change the name of the company either. Like they just let it run.
Like I hope they don't change Origin PC. Like it's a strong name. It was doing well on its own. Just integrate and, you know, take advantage of any synergies. So
yeah, So like I said, it just completely makes sense. And we have the full press release on the website. Cool. Cool stuff. Like I said, it's crazy how these companies, like again, Corsair was a memory company. Now they sell everything. And they're like the top, you know, power supply, memory, SSD, AIO, keyboard. Like they're pretty at the top of their game in all of those, which is pretty, you know.
Yeah it's awesome, cool though. So. Yeah, it just shows that the company is operating at a really high level. And when we meet with them and we talk with those guys, like it is obvious that is the case, that it's a company that knows what it wants and where it's going. So good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. ADATA this week, they announced their first PCI Express Gen 4 SSD.
Looking good.
It's their XPG. Yeah, it looks pretty nice. It is their XPG Gamex S50. This is based on the Phison E16 controller. You're going to see this controller on pretty much all of the new Gen 4 M.2 SSDs. They've gone with their signature heat spreader, but it has like a carbon fiber kind of design on it, and it's gray rather than the red that we've seen on most of their other drives. It looks really good. The thing that I wonder about is that, I've seen that heat spreader. It's not... I mean, it does its job on Gen 3 stuff, but Gen 4, like, I have the Aorus drive, and it gets extremely hot, and it has a massive heatsink on it. Mm. So I'm going to, you know, like, we should get this into review, and I'm going to see how well it actually does. It's rated for 5,000 megabytes a second read and 4,400 megabytes a second write.
Which is quick. Yeah. It's a quick claim. And their stuff really, it does end up being... really good product. So,
and one thing that I like about XPG and within ADATA is they're typically lower priced than some other brands, but they still always give you like a 5-year warranty on these products and stuff like that, so you don't have to worry about it. And they all perform really good, at least in our testing. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, I have no problem with this company, with ADATA. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully we'll get one of these into review and we can tell you all about it when that time comes. And finally, we went through our news really quickly today.
You know, it was just basically like a AMD wrap-up and then a couple of things tagged on the end.
Yeah. You know, ray tracing has been something that NVIDIA is pushing and continue to push. And... for me, it's like if you have the horsepower and you're playing a single player game, sure, right? But if you're playing a multiplayer game, I would never turn it on. Just for, I'm not trying to lose FPS to look for the game to look prettier. According to a statement by an NVIDIA employee, the first AAA title that will require a ray tracing GPU will arrive around 2023. I think that NVIDIA is going to make partnerships where they are, where a studio is going to come out with a game that you need a ray tracing GPU. Now, ray tracing will be available on next-gen Xbox, next-gen PS5. Yeah. Also, AMD GPUs will support it in the future on a higher level than what they do now. I think this is more partnership than like the technology. Actually, I mean, the technology is great, yeah, but it takes a lot to do it, right?
And I think it's also one of those things where it's a tack-on graphic thing that it's not gimmick, but it feels like a gimmick. It feels like when you see it, it's great, but it feels so oversold to us in that way.
It's oversold, and you know, when the RTX series launched, it's like, yeah, here's $1,000 GPU that you need to do this new stuff when I can just play the game without it.
Right? And it looks really close.
Really, you know,
the games still look really like games were looking really good before ray tracing, and it is cool. It does look better, but it was just sold as this very next generation thing.
And I think that, you know, 10 years from now, it will be like the standard.
Right? Yeah. But we'll also be doing all sorts of other AI inspired things.
Yeah. And I just like, again, for me, as like not saying I'm a super competitive gamer, but like when we're playing games and I'm playing against somebody, I don't want to lose FPS for the game to look prettier. If I'm playing a single player game, sure. Like, you know, but I mean, the performance hit that it takes is not worth it to me.
Yeah.
For the most part. And again, with like, you know, reviewing, you know, 2060s and 20s, you know, it's like back then when I was, you know, when this all launched, like it was so buggy anyways.
Yeah.
It didn't work the way you wanted it to. So I think it has a while to go, but I think, you know, how NVIDIA works with their partnerships with game studios, you will see a game that does require I guess you would say like an RTX card or a card that has ray tracing, like, yeah, you're gonna see it.
When they settle on something, they don't let it go. They are insistent, yeah, that is gonna be the thing. Physics, for example.
Yeah.
They pushed. Yeah. Which was a very good tech, but like they pushed that hard do games still use it? I don't think so.
I have no clue.
I think they moved beyond it. So,
yeah. But yeah, like I said, I think ray tracing is great. I just, one, the cars are super expensive, you know, 2060 and above.
Yeah.
And two, like your game will play completely fine without it.
Yeah.
And still look good. Really good. It's not going to look as good, but going to look good.
You also don't know that you're missing anything because you still have there's still a lot of interesting lighting techniques that are employed, you know? So yeah, the thing where it'll really come into play is where a game studio doesn't do any of the other lighting techniques, so that like if you're not using ray tracing, like it's going to be like you just won't have like reflections and you know, different ambient lights and stuff. Like that'll be like, oh well, this just doesn't even work almost now because they're leaning completely onto ray tracing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I like it. I just, like I said, performance hit doesn't make it worth it for me, at least in competitive games. You know what I mean?
The AMD better get up to speed here because, well,
yeah, I think they will on the next generation. I believe they will.
Yeah.
So that is our news for the week. Like I said, a big AMD news week, as it's been for the past couple months.
Yeah. We did touch on, before we move on completely, you mentioned that next generation, the PS5 and the Xbox Scarlett are coming out, right? And they're going to have, you know, they for all intents and purposes, they look to be leaps ahead in console technology. But the pricing was announced for the PS5. Did you see that?
I did not.
It's $1,000. Wow. You know what you can build for $1,000?
An awesome PC.
An awesome PC.
Yes.
A little bit.
And you can take advantage of a Steam summer sale.
That's right.
You know,
the balance is coming, it seems.
Yeah, I think that price will drop. Maybe.
I mean, no. If it's true, and it seems to be, like, console pricing doesn't really change until you hit a, like, Black Friday when a new generation is coming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what did they say? I don't remember what they, like, said for the PS5 specifically, but they're talking, like, 120 hertz on,
the
you know,
claims,
they're
yeah,
talking the faster. Was that Xbox or was it PS? I think it was PS5. They were talking, like, faster than PCI Express, and, like, a 1 terabyte faster than PCI Express SSD. It's like, what tech is that?
Yeah.
I don't know what else they said.
Claiming things that don't exist, I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's going to make it really interesting, I think. If these next-generation consoles aren't, what are they normally, $499?
Yeah, $399, $499, yeah, something like right in yeah. there. It basically, so, like, doubles the pricing.
Yeah, so if you're doubling that pricing, what's more of a thing to get? Is it that, or is it a PC?
That you can upgrade as time goes on. Like a console, you can't, you know, you can't swap that. You can't swap anything out. It is what it is.
You can add storage.
Well, okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
no GPU, no CPU, no RAM.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like we talked about during Prime Day. Like you could build a really good PC for $1,000.
Yeah.
Like a really good one.
And well, consoles are so it's kind of like the Apple thing where they're like so well designed with software and, you know, the hardware is so perfectly integrated. They just work better than a PC does because everything is so perfectly, you know, it's one manufacturer instead of several manufacturers, right?
I agree.
But it's still stuck with like those parts, like regardless, it's stuck with those parts. So you can over time upgrade that PC of yours to be faster. And the parts that they're going to ship with, they're going to be current gen AMD parts. So that means you're running like a 5700 or something like that in there.
I don't know what it's a 7-nanometer
processor,
whatever.
Right?
Or whatever it's doing, or APU, or I don't know what's in there. It's a custom design part.
Is it?
But yeah, it's okay. Custom design for that. So I don't know.
GPU isn't though. It's like it has a shelf name.
Does it? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought the whole thing is like a design that has both of the GPU and CPU on it, and. Yeah,
it's a custom card, right? In the connection and the layout and everything, but it's an equivalent.
Interesting. Yeah. Might be that 5800 we were talking about.
It could be, but I'm doubting it.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's interesting. That will really change the landscape, I think, because $1,000 is a lot for a console. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us, I would say, like middle class, like as a kid, getting a console was like a Christmas or a birthday. Then that was like the only thing you got. Yeah. You know, because it was $300, $400, $500. Bringing that up to $1,000, I mean, for a lot of parents, like that's a lot of money to spend.
Yeah.
You know, and like. For a lot of kids too, like you can kind of reason with your parents, like this, you know, I'm gonna do my homework on this PC, like I'm gonna do whatever, like I'm gonna learn video editing on this PC, like I'm gonna do other things than game. Whereas a console, you're just gaming.
They're getting better. You got to give them that, but like it's no PC.
Yeah.
So
interesting stuff. But we'll talk about what we have coming up next week. Fractal Design is launching a new PCU or PCU, yeah, PSU. I can't tell you much about it, but it actually launches tomorrow. So stay tuned for this on the site for that. We'll be taking a look at that. And HyperX is launching a little extra that goes along with their HyperX Alloy FPS gaming keyboard. Can't tell you much about that either, but that's launching next week, and they sent us the keyboard along with the extra stuff, so that will be kind of fun to check out. And then I'll be taking a look at that $200 AMD Ryzen 5 3600X. So I'm excited to take a look at that because, you know, yeah, the 3900X and 3700X are like pretty awesome, but they're pretty expensive parts. Not super expensive, but, you know, for a lot of people, it's overkill. Like, do you really need 12 cores as, well, you know, yeah, playing Minecraft?
Especially when the... That's a specific jab. Especially when it comes, as you say, what it comes down to is more per core performance. So, like, adding on all those cores and threads isn't doing anything for you, for most people.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. I mean, $200 part that performs, you know, 6-core, 12-thread, boost up to 4.4 gigahertz is like great for pretty much anybody, I would say.
Yeah, like I was saying, like it was only until like 3 years ago that we were on quad cores and they were just fine. Kind of.
Yeah, so I'm excited to take a look at this part. I actually put the system together today that, you know, our test system. So really excited to expect that next week. Yeah, so that's good stuff coming. Cool. So we're reaching the end here. Let me talk about any tech related stuff you did or any cool kind of tech or nerd related stuff you watched, you read, you did anything.
I didn't do anything other than we played Apex and we dominated. But
we played some Apex. We were streaming last Thursday. Are you going to stream with us this week?
I'm going to try to make it.
We played so well, we might as well start a clan. I mean,
yeah, we were that good. it was a good time though. We had a bunch of like pretty decent games, and then we ended up winning and had another decent game. So,
yeah. I think every game was pretty good for the most part.
There was nothing where we were like rage inducing. So, it was good.
I'm besides playing Apex, and I've had my issue with trying to order stuff on Amazon. Yeah. My girlfriend and I have been watching this new show on Netflix, and I can't figure out what it's called. I think it's called like The Next Life or something. It's like a sci-fi show.
Okay. We obviously need to know what you're watching now. I mean, open your Netflix up.
I'm trying to find it. I forget my login.
Oh, you gotta have Chrome hold that stuff for you. Let me see if I can help you. Avengers Infinity War.
No.
First thing to pop up.
Netflix original TV show.
Oh, you know what I did watch? I forgot I did something. I watched the Aziz Ansari stand-up right now.
Okay.
It was good. You can definitely tell the dude has been affected by all the accusations brought against him, though. He seems a little bit bitter. So, but if you're an Aziz fan... it's definitely worth checking out. You figured out yet?
Maybe it's not.
Oh, no. Come on now.
All these lists of like Netflix originals are old. Uh-oh. And this is like new. Is there a premiere? Can I list this by premiere date?
Netflix doesn't really do a good job of displaying things, I found.
Oh, wait.
It wants to show you what it wants you to watch so badly.
It's called Another Life.
Another Life.
Another life. Okay. It has, if you watch Battlestar, the girl with the blonde hair, not like the Cylon girl, but the I forget her name. She's the pilot.
Okay.
She's one of the main characters. It's pretty good so far. It's not amazing, but it keeps you watching. I'll say that. And it's sci-fi, which I really enjoy. Yeah. So to
me, the real question is always. Is this sci-fi? Are the effects good enough? Because it's TV. Netflix is TV, you know, basically. So I question any sci-fi made for TV because they don't have the budget.
It's not amazing, but it's not bad.
Okay.
Just like the show in general. Like, it's not it's not like Battlestar, but it's not, I don't know, something that's incredibly horrible that I would never watch. But it's
a lot of
it's
shows
like
on sci-fi.
Yeah. It's a good middle ground, okay. I would say.
And it looks like there's one season out.
Yes, yeah. So it just came out.
And ten episodes.
It launched on July 25th.
Okay.
So 5 days ago. So I've already watched 5 episodes.
Nice.
But yeah, so if you're a sci-fi fan, check that one out.
I might have to do that.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. My girlfriend and I were looking to pick shit. Like, we were just watching shows one night. We're like, oh, what's this? And we decided to watch it. So
yeah, which can go really bad for you. So I'm glad you found one that worked.
Yeah. 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 So it's not bad. So yeah, that is it, guys. As always, we will have our full show notes that has everything that we talked about. So you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And of course, it's just Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting app, website, software, whatever it may be. So until next week, catch you guys later.